From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Christine DiMatte. Florida is moving closer to strengthening its texting while driving laws. From our sister station in Tallahassee, WFSU's Morgan Martin has details about the continuing debate in the state legislature.
Senate Bill 76 allows a law enforcement officer to pull over people who use their cell phone while driving, unless they use a hands-free device or Bluetooth mode. The goal of the bill is to make texting while driving a primary offense instead of a secondary offense to reduce accidents. Spring Hill Republican Senator Wilton Simpson is the bill's sponsor.
This is simply a hands-free bill, and we left in the provisions where the clerk may dismiss a citation if a person goes to school or buys a wireless device.
Last week, the Senate Rules Committee approved the bill. One mother spoke about passing the bill in remembrance of losing her 25-year-old son to someone who was texting and driving. Miami-Dade County resident Debbie Wanenkoff says the bill will help save lives.
On July 1st, 2018, Governor Nathan Deal signed Georgia's hands-free law. He broke down and took a moment to gather himself before saying, "This legislation is Georgia's way of saying today is the day we say no more." Georgia saw a 22% decrease in collisions in the first month. This legislation is saving at least 20 lives each month in Georgia.
The House has a similar bill, but it doesn't impose a hands-free requirement. Both proposals aim to allow officers to cite a motorist without another reason and require an officer to record the race and ethnicity of a violator when issuing a citation. I'm Morgan Martin.
In a ballroom decorated with crystal chandeliers and filled with well-dressed women carrying designer purses, worried discussions about how to afford a doctor's visit or whether the rent would get paid this month might not be what you expect. But as WLRN's Madeline Fox reports, a Jewish philanthropy was using that contrast to raise awareness of poverty in Boca Raton. That's in a county with a median income of $72,000 per year and where 12% of the people live in poverty.
More than 60 women gathered at Congregation B'nai Torah for a poverty simulation. They were divided into families, given a description of their family situation, and then set loose to try to meet their basic needs. Marcia Beckerman, who ran the simulation, said the idea is to put people in touch with the poverty in their community that they often don't see.
We live in an affluent area. We're very lucky, and I feel that a lot of people don't realize that there is a whole group of people that are living at the poverty level.
For 4 15-minute weeks, the women were figuring out how to get to work and school and making choices about what they could afford.
We're 13 years old. We decided to stay home so we didn't have to pay for the field trip.
One of the participants, Miriam Klein, says it wasn't until the third week that her family group got the hang of things. But for families really living in poverty, there's not that kind of buffer.
Nobody says, here's a do-over, you could try again. So I understand that from a real-life perspective, that's not how it works.
The simulation had other limitations.
Okay, everyone, week three is over. Everyone go home for the weekend. Don't forget to feed your families.
For people who work low-wage jobs, a consistent weekend that your whole family has off together isn't a given. And it's hard to forget to feed your family for a whole 2 days in real life. But organizers and participants both say it was a good first step in opening participants up to challenges they otherwise wouldn't think about. I'm Madeline Fox in Boca Raton.
And this is WLRN News. I'm Christine DiMattei.